In the midst of this global crisis, the voices for justice are revealing what really matters. It is time for Planetary Makeover. Here we feature solutions and modern miracles in documentary videos that offer hope for our future and remind us all of our spiritual source. Long ago, it was forecast that at this time in history, extraordinary teachers, including the World Teacher, would emerge to help us as we build a world that works for everyone. Now, here's your host of Planetary Makeover, Mr. Dick Larson.
Welcome to Planetary Makeover. My name is Dick Larson, and we are here at 5 p.m. Pacific time every other Monday night, every other Monday afternoon on the West Coast where I'm located. And we are here to give you a little hope for the future. We typically will show a video documentary by Francis Oman. Francis Oman was trained as an investigative reporter. She's also an artist and has received many international awards over the last 40 years for her video documentary work. And as for me, my background is in business and counseling and teaching and in practical spirituality. I grew up a Christian and then studied other world religions, and then studied something called the Ageless Wisdom Teachings. The Ageless Wisdom is an ancient philosophy, it's not a religion, about humanity and about why we're on the planet. And it just made a lot of sense to me, so I continued my studies of the Ageless Wisdom and about how to apply spirituality to our everyday life, which is what religions try to do, although there's a lot of dogma in the world's religions today, every religion, every major religion, Buddhism, all of them have a lot of man-made rules and so on, and a lot of misunderstandings from some of the symbolism in their sacred books. So those will be straightened out in the future, but in the meantime, I'm appreciative of all the world's major religions. I think they are paths, spiritual paths, as is no religion, a spiritual path if a person acts, within spiritual guidelines of being a good person and helping others and the stuff that our soul tries to get us to do. And of course, I do believe we all do have souls. Well, there are some things that you should know before every broadcast, and I'll go through them before this broadcast. First of all, please don't believe anything we say here. We're not here to convince anybody that what we say is true. We're not here to get people to think like we think. We're not here to argue with anybody. But what we're here to do is just present our information about hope for the future and see if maybe 10 or 20 or 30% of it makes sense to you, our viewer and listeners. So, we are hoping that it will. I mean, I don't want to waste your time. I wouldn't be here if I thought I was wasting your time. So we think a little bit of it anyway will make sense to you. Now, you're going to hear some stuff you haven't heard before, but we're not asking you to believe it. Just please understand that. The second thing we ask, and this is challenging, we ask that you try to keep an open mind. Now, we've all developed our belief systems and our way of thinking and our view of the world, so to speak, and it's pretty dear to us. most of us think our view is the right view. And so what I'm going to ask is that you set that aside just long enough to hear what we have to say. I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm just asking you to hear what we have to say. Kind of let it sit in your lap like a brick and don't do anything with it. You don't have to argue with it. You don't have to argue for it or against it or disagree with it. Just kind of let it sit there for the next 50 minutes or 45 minutes and kind of see if any of it makes any sense to you. So that's the second thing we ask. So we ask you to not believe anything we say. That's not why we're here. The second thing we ask is that you try to keep an open mind about some of the information you're going to hear. If you're new to this show, then you're going to hear some stuff you've never heard before, probably. And I'm going to ask you to just hang in there with it and just kind of let it marinate a little bit for the next 45 minutes. And the third thing we ask is that you give us a call. There are two numbers. I'll give out those numbers now, phone numbers you can call to ask questions or to make a point. And today's show is going to be mainly about phone calls and questions and any information you might want to share. So the phone numbers are 888-627-6008. I'll say that again, 888-627-6008, or you can call us directly at 323-744-4831. 323-744-4831. That'll put you into the radio station, TV station, BBS, that we are on right now. And then they will answer your call and let me know that you're on the line so that you can talk to us. I have my earbud in so that I can hear you when you call. And so those are the three things we want you to know ahead of time. Don't believe us, please keep an open mind and give us a call. Now, we were scheduled to have a video today, but we goofed, and the video isn't ready. It was supposed to be part two of if the Buddha or Christ returned today, would you recognize them? Would we recognize them? Either one of them. Would we recognize him or her in today's world? What would they appear like? And especially if you're non-religious, because Christian religion has a very specific way that they think they will recognize the Christ, for example. And I would be happy to entertain a call from any Christians out there as well. If you want to share your view of what the Buddha or the Christ, how you would know them, if one of them showed up in today's world, I would love to hear your views on that. I will share some of my views, some of my experiences. Now, some of you may have experienced one of the masters of wisdom, the spiritual kingdom. They're called masters of the wisdom because they are perfected human beings. They've gone through Earth's evolution ahead of us. And so they learned all the lessons that planet Earth has to teach and became perfect people. And when you become a perfected human being, you don't need a physical body on the planet anymore because the planet can't teach you anything else. And so then you ascend, you go to the spirit world. And that's where you reside in the spirit world. You can have a body in the spirit world or not have a body, just be a consciousness or a spirit in the spiritual universe. It's your choice. And depending on what you're going to do there. Now, we're very fortunate on planet Earth, according to the Ageless Wisdom, and I'm going to talk about the Ageless Wisdom. We're very fortunate because we have 63 of these great perfected human beings who have gone through evolution ahead of us and have hung around because there's seven paths you can take as we understand it. I'm not asking you to believe this, but once you become a permanent spirit or permanent consciousness, there are seven paths you can take to continue your evolution, to continue your personal growth in the spiritual universe. One of those paths is the path of Earth service. And so we can be very grateful to 63 of these great beings. We know these people as Confucius, Buddha, Krishna, Jesus, Mary, that was the mother of Jesus, is one of the great masters now. Joan of Arc is one of the great masters of wisdom. They're called many things. They're called the Lords of Compassion. They're called the Masters of the Wisdom. They're called the spiritual hierarchy because you keep evolving even in the spiritual world. So just like we're at different levels of development here on planet Earth, the masters are at different levels of development. So it's also called a spiritual hierarchy. Christians call it the kingdom of heaven. These would be senior members of the kingdom of heaven, perfected human beings who don't need to come back and take a body anymore. So that's it. Now, the Ageless Wisdom, let me tell you a little bit about that. The Ageless Wisdom is an ancient philosophy as old as humanity. It's been passed down verbally over the eons by human beings, perfected human beings, or the disciples of these perfected human beings come periodically to teach the next great revelation. You may have heard that old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Well, that's the way it's been for humanity. The last two great teachers were the Buddha, who taught the wisdom of God, and Jesus, who taught the love of God. And of course, on our planet, God is love. So God is love, that's a very big message. About every 2,000 years, we get a great teacher. The Buddha was 500 years before Jesus, so they both came in the same kind of rounded off time 2,000 years ago. And it's been 2,000 years, so now we're due for another teacher. And the ageless wisdom has been passed down. The latest two revealers of the ageless wisdom, a woman named Alice A. Bailey, who wrote about 20 books in the 1930s and 40s, kind of considered the intermediate teachings of the ageless wisdom. Some of those books are very challenging to read, and some are a little easier to read. If you want to read any Alice Bailey, I would suggest Ponder on This or Serving Humanity. Those are two composites of her writings, and they're by topic. So you look at the table of contents under service, and you want to read what Alice Bailey wrote about service, you look it up. There'll be two or three pages about service or about God or about whatever. The latest revealer of the ageless wisdom teachings is a man named Benjamin Creme, spelled C-R-E-M-E. He lived in London. I knew Benjamin Creme. I meditated with him. I attended his lectures when he came to America. And I also did three television interviews with Benjamin Creme. So I spent quite a bit of time with Benjamin Creme. He's the latest revealer. He has about, I think it's about 17 books. It's either 14 or 17 available on Amazon.com. I'm not here to sell books. But if you are interested in the latest revealings of the ageless wisdom and why we're on the planet, what our purpose is in being here, what the spiritual universe is about, from the standpoint of the ageless wisdom, feel free to go and check out some of Benjamin Creme's books on Amazon. As I said, I've read all of his books, and I've attended all of his lectures here. He used to come here every year. He would come to New York and do a lecture, Los Angeles do a lecture, San Francisco would do a lecture. Then he would go over to Tokyo and Japan and a couple other cities in Japan and do lectures, and then to Europe and so on. He traveled the world for 40 years, giving out the information that some of which we're going to be talking about today, and got no pay for it. He just did it as a service to the world because he felt that that was his calling. And those of us who are interested in the ageless wisdom are really glad he did. So he passed away a few years ago in his 90s and left a legacy of great teaching behind him. He also had a wonderful sense of humor. I'm told the spiritual kingdom has a great sense of humor as well. The masters, Jesus and Buddha and Krishna and those guys and women, gals, have a great sense of humor. You know, that humor that they have comes from, it's not about jokes. It's not about anything mental. It's about the joy in them that bursts out as humor. It's true joy, and it just kind of bubbles out from time to time. And so that's kind of where the humor comes from the masters, and where humor can come from for us as well. Because we have that joy inside. We just need to tap into it and kind of let it out. Well, maybe a little more often than we do now. So we're not going to have a video because the second half of that video was not made available at the time we thought it would be. So we're going to talk about what would happen, and feel free to call in anytime you want to, what would happen if the Buddha or the Christ were here now. Would we recognize him? I understand we have a call from Houston. Howard.
Hello.
Hi, Howard. Go ahead.
Yeah, what do you tell Christian people who've been taught that, that Jesus is going to come and take all the good Christians up to heaven and everybody else is going to go to hell. What do you tell us? What do you have to say about those beliefs?
Yeah. I'm glad you asked, Howard. Thank you. Is that your belief? Howard,
yeah,
I'm not sure. Pardon, you're not sure? Oh, lost Howard. Okay, well, thank you for the call and for the question, Howard. And I'll be happy to, I really don't tell Christians anything because their belief system is fine. I'll tell you, though, what the ageist wisdom says. The ageist wisdom says that, first of all, as far as the end of the world goes, let's talk about that for a minute. Because the Christian teaching that you mentioned says that he will come at, he will return, all right, but he will return at the end of the world. That Christ will come at the end of the world and kind of take those good people with him to heaven, and everybody else will be damned to hell forever and ever, agony and, all the sayings that are in the Christian Bible, fire and gnashing of teeth and burning hell and all of that. Well, the ageist wisdom says that the hell is what something we create for ourselves here on earth. That's where hell is, and that heaven is also something we create for ourselves. Now, the masters are not on a cloud in heaven, Jesus and so on, according to the ageist wisdom. I'm telling you what the ageist wisdom says. The ageist wisdom says that they are here on the planet, the ones that have chosen to stick around, are here on the planet, but they're in the mountain and desert regions of our planet. See, in the mountain and desert regions, they can be focused 100% on their work, which is to inspire humanity behind the scenes, to inspire us and guide us and lead us by inspiring us. All the great human beings that have made great advances in science, religion, the arts, all of those great human beings who made those advances were inspired behind the scenes by the masters of wisdom. Different masters have different jobs, different areas of responsibility, but they live in the mountain and desert regions of the world, so they're not distracted by the noise pollution that we have to put up with, and the air pollution, and the water pollution, and so on. And all the chaos that's going on our planet. They're in the remote desert and mountain regions like the Himalayas and the very high parts of the Rocky Mountains and the Ural Mountains. They're in the deserts like the Gobi Desert and so on. And their consciousness rests there, and it's distraction free. Now, they don't need to sleep or eat. You can't kill them. So they work 24 hours a day on whatever their area of assignment is. Some are working on cultural aspects, the arts and so on, music, painting. Some are working on each of the major religions, trying to inspire people. Some are working in the area of government, some in the area of healthcare, some in the area of nutrition, growing crops, and everything is spiritual, everything is vibrating. And so they work with all of these different areas of human life, including government, like I said. And they're the inspiration for humanity behind the scenes. Now, what the ageist wisdom says is that each planet has millions of years of life, and that planet Earth is about in the middle of its lifetime, which means that there are millions of years left. And so what that means, though, the ageist wisdom says that a special thing happens about halfway through a planet's life. And that is that the people wake up. Humanity wakes up. Our souls, which we all have, some of us have not been able to get in touch with our souls yet, don't know we're a living soul, don't know that we're spiritual. And many of us do now. And that's part of the waking up. We're waking up to the fact that we're not humans having spiritual experiences, we're spirits having a human experience. And that once we get in touch with our soul is connected to God, right? It's a piece of perfection from God. And that perfection, that soul's job, is to guide us in our lives and help us make right choices, help us make wise choices, and when we make poor choices, to help us learn from our poor choices. So once we get in touch with our soul, then we can start trying to do, our soul tries to get us to do God's will more and more and more. So this planet is only about halfway done, according to the Ageless Wisdom. It's not gonna end soon. Now, the Christ is coming anyway. Jesus predicted when he would return. We'll talk about the Christ more, but I want to talk about Jesus because that was your question. He predicted Jesus' return, Jesus did. He gave us a little hint. It's in the Bible. Towards the end of his years, of those 3 years of teaching, from the time he was baptized by John the Baptist until his crucifixion, during those 3 years were his major teaching years. And towards the end of those years, he asked his disciples to go into town and to reserve a hotel room. He said, look for a man carrying a pot of water. Well, a man carrying a pot of water is the age-old symbol for the Aquarian age, for Aquarius. The symbol for Pisces, we all know what that is, it's the fish. Well, there are ages, and I've got to look at this here. Okay. Just checking to make sure I didn't have any more calls. We go through ages. Our solar system and our planet doesn't sit still. It rotates, and we're surrounded by 12 great constellations that we call the zodiac. These are huge heavenly bodies that give out tremendous energies. Well, we come into alignment with these 12 constellations one at a time. So where we're in alignment with a constellation, we say we are in the age of whatever that constellation is. If you were to talk to astronomers about this, they don't call it ages. They call it the precession of the equinox, where we move from one to another, our focus moves, and our alignment moves from one to another constellation. Well, for the last 2,000 years, we've been in alignment with Pisces. We've been in the age of Pisces. Jesus was the teacher for the age of Pisces. And you look at the Christian Bible, there's all kinds of symbolism in there, as you know, the caller, Howard, and other Christians that might be listening. As you know, he fed the crowd with fish. I'll make you fishers of men. There's all these fish analogies. It was a symbol for Christianity. A Christian, if he was talking to somebody else he liked, he would take his foot and he'd draw half a fish in the sand. And if the other person completed the drawing with his foot, then they would know they were safe. They were talking to another Christian. There's two symbols for Christianity, aren't there? The cross and the fish. A lot of Christians don't know why the fish is a symbol for Christianity. And the Ageless Wisdom says it's because Jesus was the teacher. Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew he was the teacher for the age of Pisces. And so he was the teacher for the age of Pisces. Well, now we're moving into Aquarius, the next constellation in the alignment of our planet. It's backwards from the astrology that you see in the newspapers and magazines that's there for entertainment. This is not. This is astronomy. And the next constellation, which we're moving into now, we're refocusing our alignment as a planet into the constellation of Aquarius, and the symbol is a man carrying a pot of water. And I would suggest, and the Ageless Wisdom suggests, that symbolism by Jesus was him giving us a sign when he would return. Remember, he said, lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age, the end of Pisces. Then he's going to come back in the Aquarian age. And so I would suggest that Jesus is returning as he's symbolized in the age of Aquarius, which is the age we're entering now. We moved into alignment with Aquarius. We started in 1625, we started moving out of alignment with Pisces. In 1675, we started moving into alignment with the constellation Aquarius. So now we're receiving energies from both of them. And when that happens, there's chaos on the planet. And that's exactly what we've got. We're going through a transition period between the ages and between these huge energies. And so We need help. We need guidance. Well, Jesus is back to give us guidance. And there are other masters that are here. There are 14 masters that, as I understand it, according to the Age of Wisdom, according to Benjamin Krem and his master, Benjamin Krem was taught how to be in contact, constant contact with one of the masters, and that's where he got his information so that he could teach and develop the information in those books of his. And so we are moving into Aquarius now. We're halfway through, and we'll be leaving. We're continuing to leave Pisces, and that's causing lots of problems, which I'll talk about. But my information is that Jesus is here now. He's out in the outskirts of Rome. The Pope and a couple of cardinals know he's here, but they've been asked not to say anything. Isn't that interesting? They've been asked not to say anything. I'll tell you why. Because humanity has free will. That's how we learn. We learn from making choices. And then we can learn from a wise choice. We can learn from a poor choice. The goal isn't necessary to choose right every time, wisely every time. The goal, the bigger goal, is to learn from every choice. That's what our soul wants us to do. That's what God's will is for us. So we have free will. And even the masters, when they walk amongst us again, which my information is they're going to be doing very, very soon, when they walk amongst us again, they're not going to infringe our free will because it's sacred. It's God-given. They're not going to force us or make us do anything. They'll make suggestions. They're teachers. And whatever their area of responsibility is for each master, they're going to make suggestions, and then we have free will. We can either follow their suggestions or not. My information is that Jesus' job is going to be to get the Christian church back on track. Remember I said there's a master for every major religion? He's obviously the master for Christianity, the largest religion in the world, the largest belief system in the world. Roman Catholic Church, Christian Church, is the largest church in the world, and certainly by far the largest Christian church. There'll be no more popes. My information is that Jesus will take his rightful place on St. Peter's throne at the head of the Christian church, and he will give out what the original Christian teachings are without all the man-made stuff. And then people can, Christians and everybody else, can either decide, yeah, that sounds right, that makes sense to me, and I do think you are Jesus. I mean, Christians are going to have to recognize him for themselves. He's not going to wave a magic wand and say, I'm Jesus and I'm here. He may ultimately say that on TV, but we have to recognize him for ourselves. So it's very individual, as you know. All spirituality, all religions are very individual. And we make individual choices about our spiritual life and our religious life. And that's very important that we do that for ourselves and not let other people tell us what to think or what to believe or how to act. And the Ageless Wisdom honors that deeply. And it says that every religion is a path and every religion is important. And the Ageless Wisdom is said to be the foundation for all the world's major religions. So, my information is that Jesus is back. You will see him soon on television. And when I say soon, I mean within 5 or 6 years at the most. So if you're in reasonably good health, Howard, you're going to see Jesus on TV. And everybody in the world will see Jesus on TV, especially the Christians and the Roman Catholics will see him on TV. Now, as far as the Christ goes, it doesn't make any sense for Jesus to return and wave his hand over a desolate world where everybody's been destroyed. It doesn't make any sense if we are children of God, if we're all children of God, if we're all made in God's image, that means spirit, spiritual. If at the heart of us all we're spiritual, how could any of us go to a place like hell forever and ever and ever? The Ageless Wisdom says that's not what's going to happen. What the Ageless Wisdom says is that each of us is going to go through our evolution on this planet until we become perfected human beings as demonstrated for the Christians by Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, then he rose from the dead to show that there's life after death. And then he ascended into what the Bible says heaven, what the spiritual universe, to show where we're all going to go. Now, some of us are going to get there sooner than others because some of us are more evolved than others. And I'm not about to say who those people are because I don't know. I don't know. All I know is we're all folks trying to do our best. And we're working on living more and more spiritual lives as best we can. And some of us are having a lot of trouble with that. And some of us are doing a little better at that. But the end result is we're all going to go, if you want to call it heaven, call it heaven. We're all going to go to heaven. We're all going to leave this planet and not need to come back. So my information is that Jesus is here now, will be coming forward soon to help us, especially to help his Christian religion get back on track. I understand we have a call from Susan. I'd be happy to talk to Susan. She's in Oakland. Hi, Susan. Oh, that line got dropped. I don't know if she hung up. Yeah, she hung up. Okay. Well, Susan, feel free to call back. I'm sorry if I waited too long to see you. I have a little list here, and if I don't look at it frequently, then I miss callers. So you have my deep apologies, Susan. I hope that you feel free to call back, and I'll get you on the air right away if you do. Okay. Well, if the Buddha or Christ came back, would we recognize them? Interesting. What do you think? What do you think? Some people say they've had experiences of the Christ. Now, let's talk about the Christ just for a minute while we wait for another caller. Maybe they can share an experience of the Christ. The Ageless Wisdom says that Christ is a position in the spiritual kingdom. It's not anybody's last name. Jesus' last name wasn't Christ. Nobody had last names back then. It was Jesus of Nazareth. Everybody had a name and then where they were from. And he was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, why would he be called Christ if somebody else, another consciousness, another perfect human being in the spiritual kingdom is the Christ? Well, I'll tell you why. The age-old way, and it's true, and according to the Ageless Wisdom, there is a Christ for planet Earth, and that Christ, his personal name is Maitreya. Maitreya is Sanskrit, and it means the happy one, the one who brings joy. And the Ageless Wisdom says that he and the Buddha were the first two human beings to perfect themselves and become permanent human consciousness on planet Earth. And so since they went first, they're brothers, they worked together. My information is they worked together. The masters had no egos, you know, so they just worked together to help humanity. So they work hand in hand all the time. My information is that Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius, also works hand in hand with Jesus. They work very closely because of their relationship during those 3 years. And here's what the relationship was. It's the age-old way that one of the masters gives out their teachings. I'll use the Buddha first. The Buddha, who was a great, great master, one of the most advanced of all the masters, as is Maitreya. Jesus is also very, very advanced. The Buddha agreed with Prince Gautama. Before Prince Gautama was born, he agreed with the Buddha that he would give out the Buddha's teachings when he became of age. So Prince Gautama was born, and he knew by the time he became of age, he knew what his mission was. He's a very advanced disciple of the Buddha. And so he remembered that he agreed to give out the Buddha's teachings. And so the age-old way for a master of wisdom to do this is to put his conscience, called overshadowing, he would put his conscience, a little bit, small piece of his consciousness in the Buddha. In the Buddha's mind, with Prince Gautama's permission, he would put his consciousness in Prince Gautama's mind, in Prince Gautama. So Prince Gautama said, yes, please do. So the Buddha's consciousness was in Prince Gautama when he taught. and he gave out the teachings of the wisdom of God. And because he was giving the Buddha's teachings, he became Gautama Buddha. That's why he was called the Buddha. He wasn't the Buddha, but he was called Gautama Buddha because he was giving out the Buddha's teachings. The same thing happened with the great master Jesus. He was a disciple of Maitreya, of the Christ, very advanced disciple, and he agreed to come back in a physical body, and that this time back, he would give out the Christ's teachings. So when he became of age, and in his case, it was 30 years old, baptized by John the Baptist, the River Jordan, the Christ, Maitreya, put his consciousness, a little bit of it, in Jesus, with Jesus' permission, which is a real sacrifice by Jesus, because Jesus could have given out great teachings on his own. But he agreed to give out the Christ's teachings, Maitreya's teachings, and he did. For those 3 years, he gave out the teachings of the Christ and became recognized as Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ. So he wasn't the Christ permanently, but he was the Christ for those 3 years as he gave out the teachings of the Christ. So he became known as Jesus the Christ. Jesus is back. The Christ himself, the head of our spiritual kingdom, Maitreya, the world is the world teacher for the age of Aquarius, and he is here now too. So both he and Jesus are here in physical bodies. That's my information. They're in physical bodies, and they're both going to teach humanity. Jesus is going to teach along Christian lines, and Maitreya is going to teach some basic stuff for humanity that we haven't learned very well yet to start off. Now, they'll both be with us for hundreds and hundreds of years. I know my information is that Maitreya will be here for the next 2,000 years at the center of humanity, giving advice, making suggestions. We can either follow them or not. By the way, Maitreya said, through one of his disciples, he said, I see your choice and I am glad. So he knows that humanity, enough of humanity to start with, is going to choose to follow his suggestions, follow his teachings, and try to turn this planet around. Life on this planet is a mess right now. And we have lost our way. So one of the things that Maitreya is going to do when he comes forward to humanity, which again, I think is going to be within the next 5 years, maybe the next year, maybe even less. Nobody knows the day or the hour. When he comes forward, it will be on worldwide television and radio hooked up by satellites. He will come forward, and that's how all eyes will see him, all ears will hear. And even if you don't have your TV or your radio on, my information is that you will hear his words in your head telepathically. It's one of the magical ways that you'll know it's the world teacher, is that he will be talking to us in our heads, in our native language, whatever it is. As Benjamin Creme used to say, the British will hear him, the English will hear him in English, and the Americans will hear him in what we call English. That always made me laugh. But everybody will hear him in their native language, whatever it is. And he will address all of humanity, at least that's his plan. Now, humanity has free will, so we can kind of force the masters to change their plans once in a while. It happened during the Cold War. Once World War II was over, Maitreya thought he could come forward right away, but boom, we went in. He didn't know humanity was going to go into the Cold War. And we did, so that slowed everything down, pushed everything back. So the Cold War is over now. And so it sets him free to come forward to humanity. Now he's got to pick the best time. He will come forward first, and then he'll introduce Jesus. Jesus will come forward. I'm thinking that we'll see them side by side eventually, side by side on TV. And, you know, Maitreya will introduce him. This is the Master Jesus, my beloved co-worker. And Jesus will say, this is the great Master Maitreya, my co-worker and the teacher for the age of Aquarius. And we'll see them together side by side on TV. So that's the prediction. That's the intention. His intention is to come on TV worldwide and radio, speak to everybody. If you're over the age of 14, then your chakras are fully developed enough. Those spiritual centers in our bodies our physical bodies are developed enough to be able to handle his energy without harming us. He doesn't want to hurt anybody. And so he will speak to us. If you're over the age of 14, you'll hear his words. That's one way you'll know it's him. There's another way you'll know it's him. We're talking about recognizing the Christ now, right? Another way you'll know it's him is that while he's speaking, he embodies the love of God in this body that he made. He made his own body. Can't be killed. Doesn't need to sleep or eat. He can appear in 57 places at once. Shake your hand, solid physical. The masters are masters over all of the sciences of planet Earth. They're not subject to gravity. They're not subject to the laws of science as we understand them. That's how miracles happen. The masters make miracles happen. It's just science we don't understand yet. They're master scientists. So he can appear in many places. Jesus can do the same thing. Appear in 42 places at once if he wants. And then disappear. And so they travel by thought. That's how they travel. Isn't that cool? They can travel by car or plane or whatever if they want to, but their traditional way of showing up somewhere, which they've done, and we'll talk about that, is they just travel by thought and they appear wherever they want to appear to whomever they want to appear to. And they've done that hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of times. The masters, especially Maitreya and Jesus, have appeared to human beings. And so the second way you'll know it's him is that he will send out that love of God. He had to make a body where he could embody the love of God and still shake your hand and not zap you to death. You know, so it took a while to make this body that could handle all these tremendous cosmic and earthly energies that he needs to handle. And so he made his own body, and he will send out the love of God into our hearts while he's speaking like we have never felt it before. A lot of people be crying. I'll probably be one of them. Very touching. Now, if you're afraid of the Antichrist, trust the love in your heart, because the Antichrist can't do the love of God. No way. And the third way you'll know it's him when this time comes, if he's able to do it as he plans, the third way you'll know it's him is that while he's speaking for 25, 35, 45 minutes, nobody knows exactly how long, but while he's speaking for those times, there will be hundreds of thousands of healings around the world, miracle healings, that they'll be reported by the media after he's done speaking. Now, another way you're going to know it's him is he's going to give us a mind's eye view of the past. You're going to see it in your mind's eye, just as clear as if you're watching TV, or if you're standing in the middle of it, you'll smell the smells, you'll hear the sounds of where humanity lost its way, where we went wrong. And then you'll give us a glimpse of the future, the past, and then the future. The brilliant, wonderful, loving, cooperative, healthy, free future that humanity has in store if we make the right choices. Now remember, he says, I know you're going to make the right choices. Now that won't be immediately. There'll be some people that'll choose to follow his suggestions right away. He said there'll be about 2 billion. That's what Benjamin Crum's master told him in 2009. He said there are 1.8 billion people who are ready to respond when Maitreya comes forward, which is way more than the critical mass he needs. We need to start changing the world. See, the masters and Jesus and so on can't wave a magic wand and make everything okay in the world. You know why? Because of one of God's great laws, which is the law of cause and effect. Scientists call it the law of action and reaction. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. The law of cause and effect is how we determine our lives, actually. We do something, and then we get it back. The world is a perfect reflection of what we do and what we think and what we say. So if you don't want people to cut you off in traffic, don't cut anybody off in traffic. It's that simple. That's how it works. If you want people to be thoughtful and considerate of you, be thoughtful and considerate of others, and that will happen for you. That's one of the great laws. And the masters are going to teach these laws to us. The law of cause and effect. In the East, they call it karma. In the West, we call it cause and effect. Same law. Exactly the same law. Well, the law of cause and effect says we made this mess of the planet because we have free will. We have to clean it up. We have to clean up the pollution. We have to stop the killing. We have to stop the starvation. The masters can guide us. They can teach us. They can make suggestions, but we have to choose to take those actions to make it work, to change this planet, to turn this planet around. Now, it's my absolute total conviction that that's why we're here on this planet right now. We are here to help turn the planet around by responding to the masters when they come forward. And like I said, there are 14 masters in the world right now. There's one in outside of London. That's Maitreya, the world teacher. How will you know him? There are three or four, there are actually like five ways that I'm aware of. Because when people thought they saw Maitreya, he's been appearing, he and Jesus have both been appearing as ordinary people. Sometimes a woman, sometimes a man, sometimes a child, a girl or a boy. Sometimes as an African-American, sometimes an Asian-American, sometimes a European-American. They've been appearing to people, sometimes for seconds, brief seconds, sometimes for much longer. Sometimes they speak to people, sometimes they don't. When somebody thought they had a contact with one of the masters, they would write to Benjamin Krem because he published a magazine, it's still out there, called Share International Magazine, a monthly magazine. He was the chief editor, and he would ask his master if that was true. Did they see a master, and if so, which one was it? And then he would publish those letters, the ones that were confirmed, the ones that were verified. And there are three or four typical ways. People said there was something special in the eyes. They were either real deep, or they were bright, or they were happy, or they looked right through you. Something about the eyes was very different that people noticed. Another way they recognized they were speaking to a master was that for no reason at all of a sudden they felt so happy. They just felt full of joy and just happy as can be. And there was no reason to be that happy. That was because the master gave them that joy, that love, that happiness. They felt so deeply loved. A third way that they knew it was a master is because they would be talking to them or see them crossing the street, and then they'd look back and they're gone. They just disappeared into thin air. That's another sign that it was a master. Another way that people knew it was a master, it'd be a very ordinary experience. I happened to see a homeless guy in a filthy trench coat sitting on a, slouched down on a bus bench when I was driving my car. And then I drove on. I couldn't get him out of my mind. That's another way you know you've seen a master. A very ordinary occurrence, but you can't get it out of your mind. Well, I finally wrote to Benjamin Krem. He checked with his master. Turns out the guy was Maitreya. I mean, it was Master Jesus. I apologize. That one was the Master Jesus. So people have had all these experiences. So if you've had an experience like that, then you've seen one of the masters. Most likely Maitreya or Jesus, they were the most common. The Japanese master in Tokyo has appeared to some people. Mary has appeared to some people. The great master that was Mary. So you may have seen a master and not know it. Think about it. But when they come, it'll be up to us to recognize them. TV or no TV, you have to know in your heart and your mind and make your own decision about whether this is Jesus or whether this is the Maitreya, the world teacher. So I'm sorry we didn't have a video today. I want to thank you for calling. And just let you know that we will have it set up right in 2 weeks. We'll be back in 2 weeks at 5 o'clock on Monday to do this show. And I just greatly appreciate you viewing and listening to our story. I told you, you don't have to believe any of this. And I told you, you'd hear some stuff you'd never heard before. probably. So if you see the Buddha or the Christ, trust your intuition, trust your heart, trust your mind to pick out some things that seem unusual, like you just pass somebody on the sidewalk and all of a sudden you're really happy. You're just filled with joy. That happened to me. And it was Maitreya. He was a young college girl, walked by me on a campus on the sidewalk, and all of a sudden I'm just so happy.
We're going into somebody else's show. We got to wrap.
Okay. So thank you for being with us. My name is Dick Larson. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Tune in right here in 2 weeks for the next Planetary Makeover Show as we watch and discuss another video by Francis Oman in light of the timely and non-denominational ageless wisdom teachings that will fill your spirit and inspire you with hope for the future. a world that works for everyone. So be prepared to call in and share your views and questions in another uplifting episode of Planetary Makeover.